horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor. Remember, when you want to greet a friend, send a Hallmark card. For whatever the occasion, a Hallmark card will say what you want to say the way you want to say it. So, always look on the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the words sterling on silver, those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of the finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again! Ranger's Indian friend Tonto rode into the town of Tobacco Ridge to buy supplies. When he returned to the masked man's camp, he reported.
There's plenty of excitement in town, Kimasabi.
Oh?
Crooks tried to rob a bank last night.
Have Bogus Brown and his pal Elk been in town?
Them the fellas tried to rob a bank.
Are you sure, Tonto?
Watchmen get a good look at crooks in lantern light, and me hear description him give.
Were they captured?
No, they get away.
Possibly heading west.
That right.
Leave the provisions you bought in your saddlebags, and start after those two.
While me in town, Kimasabi, me follow crooks' tracks. Me show you where we pick up trail outside town.
Fine.
One fella ride horse with worn shoe.
All right. Let's go, Tonto. Easy, Silver.
Easy, Scout.
Come on, Silver.
Come on, Scout.
Taking a roundabout route through the hills, the masked man and Tonto avoided riding through Tobacco Ridge in order to reach the western side of town. There, they drew rein.
Easy, Scout. Easy. Here tracks, Kimasabi. Just like trail we lose yesterday.
Yes, you're right, Tonto.
Easy, Scout. Easy, fella. Now we plenty close to them.
They're very clever at hiding their tracks.
That right. We already lose trail once.
Well, we'll try not to lose it again. Come on, Silver.
Come on, Scout.
More than half a day's journey ahead of the Lone Ranger and Tonto, Bogus and Elk slow their horses to a walk to rest the animals.
Whoa! Easy.
Easy. Yeah, when I saw the light in the bank, I told y'all we wouldn't have a chance.
How would I know a watchman was on duty inside?
I'll bet $20 that critter got a good look at us, too.
Gosh, shut up, will ya?
You and your smart ideas.
We're not in jail yet.
We'll never reach the border if you try any more loco moves.
We need cash, Elk, and I think I know where we can get it.
Well, if you're thinking of trying another bank robbery...
I'm thinking of a lost shark I know in the town of Muleshoe.
Huh? Where's that?
Beyond the town of Amity.
Amity's ahead of us?
Muleshoe's west of it. It's a rich cattle town.
Who's your friend?
A lawyer named Hector Moses.
Well, if he's on the level, how'd you get to know him?
He's no more honest than we are. Fact is, he left the East to get away from murder charges.
Oh, what's he doing in Muleshoe?
Practicing law, as far as I know. He might know how we can get a hold of some easy money fast.
If he does, he'd set it himself instead of telling us about it.
Nah, no, not Hector. He's gotta act like he's honest. But there's nothing to keep us from pulling a quick robbery and clearing out of town.
Well, I want to stop long enough in the next town to get my gear fixed and replace this critter's left front shoe.
What's wrong with your gear?
That stirrup leather needs replacing.
Oh. Well, we'll get a meal while it's being fixed.
Well, that suits me.
Come on, giddy up.
Woo, giddy up.
In the town of Amity, the killers stopped at a saddle shop where an 18-year-old redhead named Pete Jones worked. Leaving their horses with him, Bogus and Elk went to the restaurant, directly across from the shop. A short time later, Bogus looked up from the plate of stew he was eating.
Elk, look!
Hmm?
Look who just drew rein at the saddle shop.
That dude's no one I know.
It's Hector. Hector Moses.
Oh, yeah? Well, what's he doing here?
I don't know, but I'll find out. I'll be back in a minute.
A few minutes later, Bogus returned to the restaurant with Hector Moses.
Meet my pal, Elk.
Well, how do you do?
Howdy.
Sit down, Hector.
Thank you. I have a problem, Bogus. Meeting you should help me solve it.
Oh? What's the problem?
A wealthy client of mine died a few weeks ago, Bogus. You may have heard of John Parry.
No.
Who's John Parry?
He owned the Cloverleaf Ranch, one of the richest spreads this part of the county.
Yeah?
John left a brother named Clem.
Huh. He inherits the ranch, eh?
Well, part of it. The rest is to go to John's son, Pete. Now, the trouble is that Pete and his mother were with a wagon train ambushed by natives 15 years ago. Pete's mother was found dead, and so were the rest of the travelers.
What about the boy?
His body was never found. John Parry died, believing his son is still alive.
Oh.
Now, Clem Parry is downright anxious to find the boy. Clem's unmarried and hopes that his nephew will carry on the Cloverleaf after he's gone.
How can he carry it on if no one knows where he is?
I'm supposed to locate the boy.
That's some job.
Yes. But I stand to collect a mighty handsome fee if I succeed.
Well, learning it won't be easy.
I have 3 months to find the boy. If I don't find him, the entire estate will go to Clem. But if you and Elk will cooperate, my job will be easier.
Oh, what do you mean?
That young redhead across the street is the same age Pete Parry would be if he was still alive. He looks very much like John Parry.
Yeah.
I've learned he's an orphan. He works for his board and room in the saddle shop, and he knows nothing about his past.
Yeah, what about it?
I may be able to palm him off to Clem as the real Pete Parry.
Oh. Oh, so that's your scheme.
Yes. Old Clem won't know the difference. I don't think I'll have any trouble selling him the idea that the youngster's his nephew.
What about selling the boy the idea?
Ah, that's where you two come in.
Hmm?
As a reputable lawyer, I can't try and talk the youngster into doing anything shady, but, you can.
Me?
Yes. You and Alec talk to the boy. Persuade him to go along with the masquerade, and I'll make it worth your while.
How worthwhile?
I'll pay you $500.
For a swindle like that? Not in your life.
What?
Split your fee with us or forget the deal.
My fee?
And that's not all.
What do you mean?
The kid stands to inherit a big ranch when his uncle dies, doesn't he?
Well, yes.
If we work this right, we can cut ourselves in for a share of the cloverleaf.
How do you figure that?
The kid won't want anyone to know he's not Pete Perry once he's inherited the ranch.
Is that so?
By threatening to tell what we know, we'll have him right where we want him. We may end up living like cattle kinds. Huh, Hector?
Well, we may. If you talk him into going along with the idea.
You leave that to Elk and me.
Now look. I want to be in the clear in case this boy makes trouble.
Don't worry.
Wait, what about us?
You've got nothing to lose. You're probably darting the law as it is.
Don't get any ideas about turning us in, Hector.
You know better than that, Bogus.
I know you're a killer.
The law here knows nothing about that murder.
I know about it. And I'll talk if you try a double cross.
You misunderstood me. I just want to be sure that I'm covered when you talk to the boy. Leave me out of the deal until he agrees to pose as Pete Perry.
Oh, I'm savvy. Come on, Elk. We'll go talk to the kid.
Training is training for leadership and training for life. If you were to examine the biographies of many of America's most successful and prominent businessmen, statesmen, and athletes, you would find that they received their basic leadership training in the Marine Corps. The ability to think quickly and precisely developed by these men as Marines now stands them in good stead as civilians. One of the first things a Marine learns is how to take care of himself. As a result, self-sufficiency becomes one of his most prominent characteristics. And in learning to care for himself, he also learns to care for his comrades and to direct their activities intelligently. In short, he learns how to lead. The young man who today is considering the various services may well give serious thought to this important aspect to Marine Corps training. No matter how he plans to earn his living in later years, Marine Corps training is leadership training and will help him to succeed.
Old Pete Jones listened thoughtfully to the proposition Bogus and Elk unfolded.
It's a great chance for an orphan like you, Pete. Clem Perry's an old man. When he dies, you'll inherit the Cloverleaf Ranch.
Well,
I'd like to be living on the ranch first rate, but, I don't want to go there unless Mr. Perry knows the truth.
Oh, then you'll be doing a lonesome old man a favor by going to the ranch and posing as his nephew.
Ride a mule shoe with us, and you'll be putting yourself in line for a fine inheritance.
It's a chance of a lifetime for a fellow like you. You're a fool to pass it up.
Without realizing how it happened, the red-headed orphan agreed to the plan the two killers outlined so glibly. Then Bogus signaled Hector, who was waiting in the restaurant. He joined the group.
It's all set, Hector. The youngster's going to mule shoe with us.
Ah, well, glad to hear it. You'll not regret your decision, young man. I hope not.
Well, let's get going.
When they reached Muleshoe, Bogus and Elk went to Hector Moses's office, while the scheming lawyer took Pete to the Cloverleaf Ranch. Bogus lit the lamp in the office. It was almost midnight before Hector returned.
Well, here's Hector now.
Yep.
Well, boys, it's all set.
How'd things go at the ranch?
Just fine. Clem welcomed Pete with open arms.
Did he suspect anything was wrong?
No. In fact, he's so pleased he promised me a special fee for finding his long-lost nephew.
Good.
Oh, by the way, I told him I met two down-and-out cowpokes who needed jobs.
Cowpokes?
Cowpokes?
Meaning you two.
Nah.
He's short-handed right now, so he told me to send you right now. You can bunk at the ranch tonight and go to work in the morning.
Work!
It'll be a first-rate hideout for you.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want either of you seen around my office, so get going. The ranch is a 45-minute ride from town. Now, Clem said you should stop at the ranch house to see him before you head to the bunkhouse. Whoa, Scouts.
A short time after Bogus and Elk left town, the Lone Ranger drew rein in the moonlit darkness near the scheming lawyer's lighted office.
Kemosabe.
Yes?
Track show crooks go into office, come out right away.
Someone's still in the office.
Their sign and window.
Let me see. Hector Moses, attorney at law.
Why crooks there?
Moses may not have known the killers.
Oh.
Over here, Tonto. Easy. Steady, big fella. I want to ask him a few questions about those two.
Oh, who could that be? Listen, if you two have come here to...
Are you Hector Moses?
Yes, but I...
Don't be alarmed by my mask.
If you're here to solicit my services as an attorney...
I am here for information. May I step inside?
Now hold on, mister.
I'll not detain you long.
This is highly irregular.
A couple of killers named Elk Heber and Bogus Brown were here ahead of me.
How did you know that?
Tonto and I have been following them for over a week.
Tonto?
Yes, my Indian friend.
During the 20 years I've spent in the West, I've heard a lot about a masked man who travels with an Indian named Tonto.
In that case, you know my mask doesn't mean I'm an outlaw.
You're the Lone Ranger.
That's right. What's wrong?
Nothing, sir. It's just that I never expected the pleasure of meeting you. I'm surprised and honored.
Hector Moses' mealy-mouthed flattery belied the panic in his heart. Having guessed his caller's identity, he knew Elk and Bogus were sure to be captured. He knew, too, that when they were behind bars, they would tell the law that Hector Moses was also wanted for murder. Thinking of the Derringer in his desk drawer, Hector tried to think of a way to draw it and take the masked man by surprise.
Of course, I didn't know they were wanted by the law. When they asked me for directions, I gave them the information they wanted. I'll draw a map and show you exactly the route I think they'll travel.
On the pretext of reaching for a pencil and paper, Hector opened the desk drawer, grasped the Derringer, and said,
"All right, freeze, mister."
"What's the idea?"
"Surprised you, eh?"
"Yes. Why the gun?"
"You're not going after Bogus and Elk."
"Oh, no."
"You're through hunting outlaws."
"You're going to kill me?"
"That's right."
"Oh, and how do you expect to get away with it?"
"I'll tell the sheriff that you broke into my office and I shot you in self-defense."
"You may not have a chance to tell that story."
"Huh?"
"I didn't come here alone. My Indian friend Tonto was outside the window."
Why, that's impossible."
Hector turned for a moment to cover the window.
"Come here, you!"
In that split second, the masked man stripped his arm.
Hey, let go of me!
Drop the gun! Drop it, or I'll break your arm. I said, drop that gun!
All right.
That's better.
Kimasabi, me hear cry.
Come in, Tonto.
What happened?
Hector Moses is trying to protect Bogus and Elk.
I had to do it.
You were willing to kill me.
I didn't want to kill ya.
Tie and gag him, Tonto.
Oh, no.
I'll leave you here to guard him while I follow Bogus and Elk.
Following the directions Hector had given them, Elk and Bogus had ridden directly to the Cloverleaf Ranch house. Clem and Pete were in the kitchen, where the 18-year-old was eating cold turkey sandwiches and milk. Standing inside the kitchen door with his hat in his hand, Elk explained.
"Well, the rest of the house was dark, so we came to the back door, Mr. Perry."
"Well, I'm glad you did. Come in and help yourself to some grub if you're hungry." "Well, thanks, Mr. Perry. We are kind of hungry."
"Hey, it looks to me like you're enjoying a first-rate spread, Pete."
"I've eaten as much turkey as I can hold, Elk."
"This is the happiest day of my life. Look, Dad Rabbit, I sure wish my brother could have seen it."
"Well, after Mr. Moses left, I found out I really am Peter Perry."
"But what's that?"
"That's all right. There's no mistake about it. You sure of that, huh?" "Dead sure. Pete was born in this house 17 years ago. When he was 3, he and his mother started east to visit her folks. Hector Moses said the wagon train was ambushed. It was, but I never believed that my Pete was killed. And now that I've seen the birthmark on Pete's arm, I know he's my nephew." "Birthmark?" "That's right. Pete has a cloverleaf birthmark on his right upper arm."
"Well, I'll be."
"When he was 3 days old, his dad changed the brand of the spread to the JP to the cloverleaf. It has been that way ever since, and the brand's just like the mark on Pete's arm. His dad had done it that way. Or roll up your sleeve, Pete, and show him your ma."
Sure. There it is.
Hmm. That's your identification. Does Hector know about this? That scheming shyster. Pia told me how he planned to fool me by getting a boy to pose as my nephew. It's a doggone tooth thing I never told him about the birthmark. So you told them all about the plan, Pete?
Sure I did.
Why, you... Hey, what's the idea of the gun? Don't try reaching for yours. Yes? We can't get away with it now, but we can take whatever money's around here and clear out. Take the old man's gun, Elk.
Don't try it.
Hey, look at the window. Masked man. Get him!
As Bogus whirled around to fire, a silver bullet smashed his gun.
Ugh.
Seconds later, another bullet grazed Elk's hand. The killer dropped the weapon he had drawn. Clem Perry snatched his gun from its holster and covered the disarmed outlaws.
Make a move and just stop living.
Keep him covered while I come inside.
I'll do that, mister. Don't move, you two, or I'll shoot. Where in the world did you come from, mister?
I've been following these fellows for a week, Clem. They're trailing to your kitchen door.
Why do you know this masked man, Uncle Clem?
You're doggone right. I do, Pete. He and his engine pal helped your dad and me around up some wrestlers who were stealing our stock a few years ago.
I was sorry to learn of your brother's death.
Yeah. Well,
how are you, Pete?
Well, I'm fine now, but Bogus and Elk had me plenty worried for a minute.
According to my nephew, they're mixed up in a scheme with Hector Moses.
Chantos with Hector Moses now.
If that double-dealing lawyer squealed on us...
He didn't have to. I know your record.
He's as bad as we are. What do you mean? That skunk's wanted for a 20-year-old murder in Chicago.
If that's the case, he'll pay for his crime. Now, how about tying up their hands for the trip to town, Clem?
After the Lone Ranger left with the prisoners he planned to turn over to the sheriff in town, Pete shook his head.
Doggone it. I don't understand it.
Understand what, Pete?
Well, the masked man... helping round up those rustlers. Catching Bogus and Elk like that.
You're not the first person to question his past, Pete, and you won't be the last.
But why does he wear it?
Because he's... the Lone Ranger.
Yo, Silver, away!
Identify it? Well, you can if you're collecting the full-colored bird pictures that come one in every package of Kellogg's Crumbles. You'll get a kick out of swapping duplicates with your friends and collecting all 24 pictures in the series. Get yourself the colorful albums too to paste in your collection. Full instructions for sending in are on the side of every Crumbles package. That's Crumbles. Those crinkly, sort of sweet and mellow rich shreds of good whole wheat. Kellogg's Crumbles.
The Lone Ranger, a copyrighted feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, is produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. This production of The Lone Ranger Episode 8, The Missing Heir, starred three talented Bethany Lutheran College students, actors that include Haley Dick, who played The Lone Ranger, Elk, and Announcer 2, Haley Blaze, who played Bogus, Clem, and Announcer 4, and Misha Overn, who played Tonto, Hector, Pete, and Announcer 2. This production's sound designer was Gwen Ward, a skillful alumni of Bethany's class of 2019. And finally, this production's director and announcer one was myself, Ashley Ward. Thanks so much for listening in, and I hope you all enjoyed this episode of The Lone Ranger Episode 8, The Missing Heir.